nation's capital, two blonde journalists who seek complete world domination. They're funny, they're informative, they're out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Tim.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to the third episode of Breaking Beltway. I'm Kat Timpf.
And I'm Jessica Chasmar, remotely.
Yes, we're doing this remotely because I have to be in my office still. I'm wrapping up a year-long project I had called California Policy. It's on California Policy. It's called So California Goes, So Goes the Nation, The Consequences of Following Golden State Policy. Basically, for the whole year, I've been just reporting and writing on everything going on in California, all the crazy stuff going on, and it's all due on Friday.
And there's a lot of it to report in California, as a lot of our listeners know.
Yeah, the thing I'm writing about right now, actually, is City College of San Francisco lost its accreditation, so it's got to close down, unless it gets an appeal. It's got to close down next July, and it's the biggest college.
Wait, what's closing down? Sorry, I missed that.
The City College of San Francisco. Because it got a warning, and it basically failed to address all these budget problems. And, you know, everyone's saying, this isn't fair, this isn't fair. The unions are suing the commission that took it away.
Right.
And, but it's ridiculous. Like, one of the reasons why they, you know, were being even under review was because of, you know, the financial problems. They couldn't budget effectively. And even after they lost their accreditation, they still were offering free classes to the community. So, like, even this year, they're still offering, like, arts and crafts for older adults. And,
oh,
like,
God.
Tai Chi and bake. Yeah.
So, what are people getting out of the classes? Just something to do? What are they?
Baking skills, quilting skills, tap. Like, and it's, like, really, you can't cut that? That's not clear
right.
to you? That's not clear to you? It's not clear
right.
to you that if you're going to, you're already being told that if you don't get it on appeal, if you don't get an appeal that, you know, you can continue to, you know, you're going to have to shut down and it's going to be completely devastating. San Francisco is already, they can't even have $5 footlongs in San Francisco because the minimum wage is too high.
Really?
Yeah.
So how much do they cost over there?
I don't know exactly, but they can't afford to pay the sandwich artists enough. I mean, Subway is crap. Because it was any timber. Today was the last day of any timber, so I got a foot long, thinking I would save half of it for tomorrow. And I just ate the other half, even though the vegetables were all frozen. I ate it anyways. Like, explain to me why would I do that? I feel terrible now. I feel disgusting.
Because you're Kat Timpf. Of course you're going to eat the other half of the sub.
I don't... What is this?
You're the person who makes people guard your food for you, so you won't eat it all at once.
I know. This intern that we have doesn't do a very good job of it.
Did she eat it?
No, she didn't even hide it in the fridge. I said, take this away from me. She put it in the fridge. She didn't even hide it. Come on, girl.
So you mean, like, literally hide it from you?
Literally. My interns, these 19-year-old interns that I had over the summer, I would say, close my eyes, and I'd say, take my food, and they'd put it somewhere. That's why my parents are always telling me I need to go grocery shopping to save money. I'm like, you don't understand. If I buy groceries, I eat all the groceries at once. I don't save any money.
Right.
But you don't have groceries either. What do you have in your fridge right now? String cheese, Diet Pepsi?
I went grocery shopping today. I stocked up on my V8 and my Clif Bars and my string cheese.
That's not food.
Those are my staples, though. Those are the three things that I can't live without. And then I have, like, a bunch of other, like, crap that I don't need, you know? Those three things, though, sustain me through life.
See, I have this closet in my office. It's got this old candy in it. It's like hard candy that is most assuredly from, I don't know, 1977. I've eaten so much of it today that...
Ew, what is it, like peppermints? And
it's peppermints and those little chewy little fruit candies.
Ew.
Oh my gosh, speaking of fruit candies, I lost both my IDs, both my IDs last week, so I had to go to the DMV to try to get a new one in Virginia.
That's always a fun experience here in the Beltway.
Yeah. I had to try to get a new one in Virginia. Virginia, they don't even print it out for you. You have to wait 3 days. So I was waiting in line for the DMV. I waited for 2 hours. I get up there, and they're like, where's your other ID? I'm like, I lost it. And they're like, what state was it? I'm like, D.C. And they're like, well, you need to go to D.C. and get a letter and come back. Or get a replacement ID from D.C. And I'm like, what?
They don't live there. there.
After I, right, I'm like, I don't live there anymore. And he's like, well, it doesn't matter that you got blah, blah, blah. So I, this is after I'd already taken a cab to this DMV because it wasn't metro accessible. So then I had to take another cab to the
DMV. Of course, the DMV is not metro accessible.
Right. It's like, thanks, guys. Thank you. And then I had to take another cab to the DC DMV, and they're like, oh, all we need is your original birth certificate and your original Social Security card. I'm like, great, because I brought that with me. Cool. Looked in my bag, not there. Not there. Homegirl left it on the floor at the other DMV. My original birth certificate and my original Social Security card together in a folder, left it on the floor. Had to take another cab.
Oh my God.
That could have been disastrous. That could have been a big problem.
Classic Timp.
I had to take another cab back to the other DMV that I was originally at. I had such a breakdown in this cab that he drove me back to for free.
Also classic Timp.
Classic Timp. Classic Timp. Like, I had to go to New York without an ID all weekend. And
how did that work? You look like you're 12.
I don't know. They served me. We only went to places that looked like not, they hadn't been in the United States that long. I went to, like, really, like, hole-in-the-wall, like, sushi restaurant, like, hole-in-the-wall. Yeah, like, the places that looked like they were about, like, the health department was going to maybe looking at them. I was like, okay, maybe they'll let me have a brewski. And they did. They sure did. I had plenty of brewskis. I mean, I don't know, man. I have no idea where they went. I stayed up all night looking for them, but whatever.
Debit card for something, and it was like shoved in your pack of gum.
Yeah.
It was like the plastic, and then there's the pack of gum. It was like wedged in between the plastic and the cardboard, and that's where she keeps her like most important documents.
I mean, I thought I was like, oh, I don't know. I can't. Like, I don't know why I tried to defend these things.
You texted me at like 5 in the morning asking where your ID was.
I did. That's when I was looking for it. I was like, yo, party bro, did I leave this at your house? I have no idea. It's like, and not only did I lose it, I lost both. I had a Michigan ID and a DC ID. I realized they were both missing at the same time.
So now you're like, you're off the grid.
I'm completely off the grid. Well, no, I do have my original birth certificate and my original Social Security card. I could have been legit off the grid.
Yeah.
Somebody else could have already assumed my identity. I made it about as easy as I possibly could with a little manila folder. With my original birth certificate and my original Social Security card conveniently placed on the floor of a location where you go to obtain an identification.
Breaking Beltway, folks, I want you to listen up real well because Kat does this kind of crap all the time.
Yeah.
And it's only a matter of time before her life gets ruined because of it. So we are going to be starting a Kickstarter project, and we're actually going to be asking for funds because we need a couple of microphones. Obviously. We sound terrible.
Right.
And a lot of you have told us how terrible we sound.
We know. Thanks.
So, we're definitely going to get a Kickstarter project up when you guys can dump some money in there. But maybe we could get you like a safe lock, you know?
Yeah, I need something. I need some interns that know how to hide food and remind me to charge my phone. Yeah, she also doesn't remind me to charge my phone. She's never like, hey, Kat, is your phone plugged in? Oh, no, it's not. Because you didn't remind me.
Oh, another reason to not pay your interns.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
If you do pay them, you don't pay them to do crap like that. Well, I guess you do.
I mean, I just need an assistant real bad. If anyone wants to be my assistant, just kidding, because tons of creepy men are going to tweet at me saying, I'll be your assistant. I'll let you wear my cowboy hat.
Oh, Kat, I wrote a story the other day for you, and I want you to comment on it, from your Detroit suburb county of Macomb. Some more body
homegrown
parts.
Homegrown Macomb. Body parts.
More body parts were found in the sewer in, like, your backyard for, like, the third time this year.
Okay, that's not my backyard. That was in Shelby. That was in Shelby Township in Macomb County. I live in Macomb Township in Macomb County, so that was like at least a good 15 minutes away from my house, okay?
Okay.
There was a nice 15-minute buffer between me, and wasn't there multiple body parts
three
for multiple
times
bodies?
This year, dude. They found, like, from a lot of different women.
that's gross, dude.
Yeah, yeah, they're like little pieces of flesh and stuff. But it was for the third time this year in the same sewer, so it's kind of gross.
Well, guess what else? You know what? I don't like you talking about my city like that. So I think we're going to play a song next about my city. Because, well, not about my city, but just there's a little thing that came out of my city also called Motown. That's why they call it Motown. Okay? So we're going to play like a little song right now. So
like, yeah,
like totally. All right. Be back in a bit, guys. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind. To me, ain't too proud to beg, and you know it. Please don't leave me, girl. Ain't too proud to plead, baby, baby. Please don't leave me, girl. Now I've heard a crying man is half a man with no sense of pride. But if I have to cry to keep you, I don't mind weeping if you're. Not even Motown, the glorious sounds of Motown, can make me feel better after eating that cold chicken patty with frozen vegetables on it. Ew, dude.
Cold chicken patty. Oh, because you put it in the fridge.
Yeah, but like the vegetables.
Is it real chicken or is it like?
Probably not. I paid $5. I paid $5 for 12 inches of sub. So probably not. You know what? Tomorrow, I think I'm going to go on a diet tomorrow. Like. Not like a calorie, like try to eat like vegetables and fruit and that's it.
Yeah.
Don't people do that? Isn't it like a cleanse?
Yeah.
Should I? Yeah, but you're always doing all that weird stuff. Like this, like you eat like a soup and then you eat like a, I just want something like easy to stick to. I want to like eat. I think I might feel better because I feel terrible.
You feel unhealthy, huh?
I feel, yeah. I mean, it's not. I've never, you know what? I take the stairs now.
Oh.
I work on the second floor. I've decided it's time to start taking the stairs. So, I think I'm really taking.
Well, find out what you're eating. It's probably you just need to work out. Or you could switch to Satis Fries.
Satis Fries. Right. Yeah, you can get a Burger King Satis Fries. The lower fat option, which is just going to make fatties think it's okay to get 16 orders and eat them all.
I guess Burger King now, they're trying to keep up with McDonald's because McDonald's has all that, you know, the salads and all the healthy stuff. So instead of Burger King, like, you know, trying to keep up with McDonald's and trying to stay competitive, they come out with these Satis Fries, which are like, do you remember when potato chips. They started coming out with, like, the Olestra potato chips that would give people, like, the runs. And it was, like, this horrible thing, but they were, like, fat-free, and everybody ate them up.
So they're, like, laxative chips.
Right, they're like, laxative chips. So, you know, basically, these people are going to be shoving these into their fat faces by the dozen, by the handfuls, just like they did with the Olestra chips. And, you know, maybe some anal leakage, who knows? and not only that, it's like 20% fewer calories. It's nothing. I mean,
really?
It's nothing.
I didn't
so
know
just
it was
have
that.
Your French fry. I mean, it's ridiculous. Have your French fry. Have it in moderation. Why do you have to have these 20% fewer calories for these French fries that probably taste like crap? They're probably going to make you crap. And, it's a stupid marketing ploy, and I doubt that it's going to do very well at all.
That's horrible because it is going to do well. People are going to be like, finally, now I can eat fries guilt-free.
I don't know.
They're going to look at the marketing that says they're healthier fries. They're not going to actually read the nutrition label if that shows that it's only 20% less. And the next thing you know, bunch of fatties.
Yeah, I just think this is a PR disaster. I mean, I really can't see this doing well. I just feel like people would want the regular fries, you know? I don't know.
I mean, look at baked Lay's, okay?
That's true.
They taste like nothing. They have almost the exact same amount of calories, just not as much fat.
But they're baked.
So they're better for you. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I didn't actually like read into what they're actually putting in these fries or like what the ingredients are or, you know, if they actually are better for you. See, that's my problem because a lot of these people, they see fat-free and they automatically think healthy. When that doesn't mean the same thing. It just means it's fat-free. It doesn't mean that it's going to nourish you. It doesn't mean that it is good for you, that you should be consuming it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they say fat-free, you know, fat-free brownies, you know, fudge brownies, and they cram them in their faces, but it's got a ton of, you know, sugar or whatever. You know, fake sugar that gives you cancer. It's
right.
Right.
And it's like all this gluten-free stuff. Like, people are like, gluten-free, you paleo, eat clean. It's like, well, yeah, cool, but, like, you know, your gluten-free muffin has exactly the same amount of calories as my regular muffin, but I know I'm eating a muffin, and that I'm being a fatty, and that I shouldn't be eating this muffin, so I'm maybe not going to eat another muffin. I'm maybe not going to eat a muffin every day. Maybe I'm going to watch my muffin intake rather than just keep eating all these muffins and being like, but they're gluten-free muffins. Like, ugh.
I just have a problem with the fat-free and people automatically thinking that it's going to be good for you and that they should be consuming it, you know. And, you know, speaking of people getting fatter and not really, okay, you know Mayor Bloomberg and all the ridiculousness surrounding him and his nannying.
Trying to ban large sodas.
Right, and the cigarettes and just absolutely everything. He is in your lives every day if you're a New Yorker. And the interesting thing that actually the health department, new figures from the health department came out this week that show that New Yorkers are now 25% fatter since Bloomberg took office.
That makes me so happy. I saw that and I got so happy. I mean, he tried so hard. And you know what? Maybe, because I kind of wanted to drink more sugary beverages after he did that.
Right.
I used to tweet
like
at him.
Black market now, you feel like you're being a rebel.
Yeah, I was drinking Bloody Mary with bacon in it in New York. And I was like, yeah. I like started tweeting at him. I was like, yeah, man. I'm drinking Bloody Mary with bacon in it. Come at me. And I'm also going to go outside and smoke a cigarette. Come at me.
Right in front of the restaurant. Isn't it something like you can't smoke out of a building or on the street or something insane like that?
I don't know. I don't normally smoke cigarettes. But yeah, I remember when I did, I had to, that particular time, I had to go pretty far away.
I got to tell you, I do smoke cigarettes, and there's no way that I would obey by that. I don't understand. I mean, do they actually ticket you for this? I mean, is it by the discretion of the business owner? I don't understand. I mean, do they really have nothing else better to do? Yeah, I don't know much about the laws in New York. I guess you would know more about it than me. I haven't been there in a while, but I know that they're very, very strict as far as, you know, the pricing and, you know, where it can be displayed and where you can buy them and where you can smoke them. So, you know, I think that this is kind of, you know, and they're trying to blame it on, like, lag time. Like, oh, well, we put these changes in, so, and the obesity rate was already on its way up, so it's going to take some time for, you know, those changes to actually make a difference on people's health and on their weight. So they blamed it on that.
No, you know what? The fact is, people know that these things are bad for them. They know that they shouldn't be drinking, like, pop and smoking cigarettes all day. I think cigarettes, though, too, they use, like, pollution and, like, you know, air pollution and nicotine pollution. Like, if you're living in New York or in Los Angeles, which have some of the strictest non-smoking laws, the air you're breathing in, no matter where you are, is already cancerous and disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, being around a cigarette is the least of your worries. The absolute least of your worries.
I also read that Bloomberg's trying to go after the e-cigarettes.
Yeah, didn't one, like, blow up on a baby?
Did one blow up on a baby?
I heard one, like, blew up in a baby's face. Now, they're not, to be fair, they're not for babies. Okay?
Right.
They're not all ages party times.
Like, your personal space, or, like, isn't it something like that? Isn't it not even, like, the health risks? I could have sworn it had something to do with, because it lets off a mist or a steam that bothers people.
They still don't know what's in that vapor. Yeah. Nicotine's in the vapor. I mean, but you're not going to get a secondhand nicotine vapor buzz, I'm pretty sure.
Right. And that's it. There's, like, nothing harmful in it. I mean, what is nicotine? It's like nothing. What is nicotine? It's not that harmful, is it?
No, I have e-cigarettes all over my apartment. I think those are kind of fun. It's kind of fun to get buzzed off an e-cig every now and then.
I tried them. It didn't work for me. But, you know, I just think it's kind of funny that, you know, after all of that, I mean, Bloomberg was in court constantly trying to get this thing passed. It kept getting struck down in court. And now it's, you know, 25%. So, you know, when Bloomberg took office in 2005 New Yorkers was obese. Now it's 1 in 4. 1 in 4
yeah.
is obese. That's insane.
Yeah. Today. Yeah, it is. It's not insane because people still do disgusting. They're still going to want to shove their faces. They're still going to want to eat subs that have frozen vegetables on them. Like,
just the mere statistic alone is insane. 1 in 4 people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's just, you know, government overreach. It shows that it just doesn't work. And it just... You know, that'll lead us into our next story that we're going to talk about in the next segment about these fat letters that are getting sent home.
Yes.
It's insane. Just more government, you know, more government overreach, more government in your everyday life, and they don't have your best interest at heart at all.
Nope. So this segment was about big people, large people. The next segment is going to also be, we will also be discussing large people. So we thought it was only fitting that we play a song in between that is, you guessed it, about large people. All right, guys, here you go.
Holding nothing back. Oh, she's a brick ways. Make a old man wish for younger days, yeah, yeah. She knows she's built and knows how to please. Show enough to knock a strong man to his knees. Cause she's a brick house. Yeah, she's mighty, mighty. Just letting it all hang out. Shake it down now. Shake it down, shake it down now. Shake it down, shake it down now. Shake it down, shake it down, down, down. Shake it down, shake it down now. Shake it down, shake it down now. Shake it down, shake it down now. Shake it down, shake it down. Brick house. Yeah, she's mighty, mighty. I just been it all hanging.
Enjoy that. We're back here, Breaking Beltway. We do this every Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can listen. And now we're going to keep talking more about fat people, right?
Or fat letters for fat people, yeah.
Letters telling, right. Well, what?
Yeah, the parents of these elementary school students, these are in 19 different states. They're sending home these fat letters. The media is calling them fat letters.
Fat letters?
Yeah, and it's these, I guess these kids, they're getting measured for their BMI, their body mass index, and if they're a little overweight, they get a letter sent home saying so. So, and you know, so the parents can take appropriate action, I guess, but these are elementary schools. We're talking about kids from 5 to 10. So, you know.
Man, if you're told you have an eat, like you're too fat when you're 5, that probably really mess you up. Also, no matter what the age, if the kid's fat, I bet you the kid knows that they're fat. I bet you also right. The parents probably already know the kid is fat.
Right. It's adding insult to injury. Like, you really need... I mean, you know, I'm not a parent, but I can imagine that if somebody were to give me advice, especially if it were to be a school that you're not... You know what I mean? To give you a letter like that would be very insulting. And,
yeah. Yeah. How... It's so insulting. If I had a little chubby
get control of your kid.
Right, get control of your fat kid. Yeah, I mean, like, just so you know, your little 5-year-old is fat. You're feeding, like...
And actually, a letter showed up in Southern California at a preschool.
A preschool?
A fat letter. Yeah, let me see what this says. So a preschool, that's, you know, ages between 2 and 5.
Little kids.
2 and 5.
Babies, literally babies.
You can't even be a chubby toddler anymore.
You can't have baby fat. If you don't lose your baby fat before preschool, your parents are getting, you gotta go paleo.
Yeah.
You gotta be paleo. You gotta put your kid on a juice cleanse.
So these 200 kids, I guess, this is in Southern California, this dietitian, she sent out these letters to these preschoolers, these 200 preschoolers, between 2 and 5, as obese. So I guess, yeah, that's what they're doing now. They're going to give you advice on being a good parent and keeping your kid, you know, at an appropriate weight. I can't imagine what would go through my mind as a parent getting a letter from whatever, you know, with the principal, the teacher. I wish I had an actual letter to look at and see what these letters like what they say, because that's absurd. And obviously it's happening in 19 different states. They've got to be out there. I just haven't looked hard enough. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I mean, okay. Yeah. This is what happens when you give the government needs like too much power, too much control. You know, like, it's one, for one thing, the Department of Education is a joke, okay? To have, you know, and so, like, they got nothing better to do, though, than sit there and worry about whose kids are fat?
This has to have something to do, I mean, is this something to do with Michelle Obama? Does this have anything to do with her stuff? I haven't looked into that either.
I have no idea, but
Or if it's just part of a, you know, of an overall mentality that, hey, we need to take care of this obesity problem. Parents aren't doing their job, we gotta stand and take care of this. I mean, really, that's what they're doing.
Now, I've always kind of wondered, are Michelle Obama and Barack, are the Obama kids, are the Obama girls, are they on diets? Like, they can't be fat.
They're really thin, those kids.
Right. They can't be chubby. That would ruin everything. Her entire thing is childhood obesity. Are they, like, only allowed to eat, like, carrot sticks? And, like, you gotta wonder. You know what I mean? Like, if I wanted to rebel, if I were Sasha or Malia Obama and I really wanted to rebel, I wouldn't get pregnant. I wouldn't get addicted to drugs. I would get fat.
Right?
I think that is a brilliant idea. If I wanted to rebel against my mom, Michelle Obama, I would just eat.
You would be anywhere you could be photographed, you'd be chewing down on anything you could get your hands on, right?
I would start walking around in a fat suit. I mean, and if I couldn't do that, like, you know, I'd buy a fat suit, and because if you could get fat, then, you know, her whole, that's all the country needs to get her to stop this, is we need to get somebody to get one of those girls to be fat. Because then she can't run her mouth, like, look how skinny.
She would use one of her kids as an example, and be like, see, I need to get my kid under control.
Look how skinny my girls are. Nope.
They don't talk about their kids. I don't think it would be a subject, but
yeah, but
it just goes to show you that, I mean, really, when it really comes down to it, it doesn't matter where the government steps in or how. People know what they're going to do, and they're going to get around the rules. They're going to find ways to get around it, I don't know. I don't know what that has to do with fat letters, but if you're talking about, you know, big gulps, if you're talking about, you know, fatty this and fatty that, people are going to do what they're going
to do. I tell you what it's got to do with it. I guarantee you that zero of the parents that receive those fat letters are like, oh my God, my kid is fat. My kid is fat. I never look at it. I never look at my kid. I didn't know he was fat. I needed the government to tell me now that I know. Vegetables for dinner. Thank you, government. I guarantee you, I would be willing to bet anything that has happened zero times.
Right.
I bet you. I mean, people are very also creative, you know, much more creative in the ways that they go about trying to ruin their lives. Would you find out this alligator drug or something?
Yeah, last week I wrote a story. These Arizona officials, these two guys, they show up in the emergency room. They've got their body parts are hanging off of them. They've got flesh hanging off their faces. I saw pictures. Just the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It turns out it's this new drug, and it's called Crocodile, and it's really big in Russia and Romania. I saw a couple of YouTube videos because it kind of fascinated me. I wanted to know more about this. And do you remember, Kat, you know, when we worked together about bath salts and we just went crazy? We were looking at all these YouTube videos. We're just like, this is the craziest thing ever. You know, bath salts makes you psychotic, but Crocodile, it's like heroin. It's like a poor man's heroin. It's made with codeine, gasoline, paint thinner, hydrochloric acid, and they scrape off the phosphorus from the tips of matches, and they mix it all together in this, like, rancid concoction, and they inject it. And it gets the name Crocodile from the effect that it has. It turns your skin, it hardens your skin, and it makes it eat away at itself. To where it makes it almost reptile-like, like a crocodile.
Okay, first of all, who is out there discovering that these things make you high? Like, do people just...
Let me mix all these different things together and inject it into my skin and see what happens. And, you know, that's desperation. And it comes to a point where you really have nothing to lose and you don't care if you die. Your next high is the most important thing. And that's how these new drugs come up. And it's really, really popular. And it's now made its appearance in Arizona and in the United States for the very first time. And they found two victims, you know, over the weekend in Arizona. So they're kind of freaking out. They don't want it to come to the U.S., obviously. And now, you know, I saw these YouTube videos. It's crazy. These people, they're injecting it into their skin. Their skin's falling off. And it's so rotted away and gangrenous.
I could never watch that. I would throw up.
They are screaming. I mean, they're screaming bloody murder as they're injecting themselves because it's so painful. But it's obviously highly addictive, and they get a good high off of it. But it's crazy what people will do, you know, for that next extreme high. I had never even heard of this. Have you heard of this?
No, I absolutely haven't. But the best part is if it does become, you know, big in the United States, I'm sure there'll be calls for legislation. What do we do? What do we as the government, what must we do to stop people from...
Products. Anybody could make this.
Exactly.
You know?
Here's the point. If people are sitting under their sink, mixing random chemicals together and injecting it into your skin, yo, Congress, yo, Obama, there's probably nothing you can do. Nobody's going to have a syringe full of all this random poison and say, you know what, I'm really thinking about Barack Obama right now. I'm really thinking that he wouldn't want me to do this, and I'm really thinking that now, you know what, I'm not going to do it. This is illegal. And this is what I understand about this is what I've never understood about the entire, like, war on drugs, the entire, you know, because I'm pretty rad. Like, I think all drugs should be legal, everything. And the reason I think that is because, like, okay, let's take heroin, for example. Like, everyone out there, like, I don't do heroin. I am not a heroin user. The reason that I don't do heroin is not because it's illegal. Like, I don't know. I don't think it would start to be, like, a big problem if all of a sudden it was legal. I would be like, you know what? I think I'm going to give it a whirl. I think I'm going to start shooting up all these drugs because they're legal. Like, no, but that's...
It's like, you know, it's like one of those things, the first person that ever ate an oyster. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Who would ever in their right mind do this?
Right, but it's just like, you know, we all know drugs are bad. We all know, you know, eating at McDonald's every day is bad. We all know that, you know, all these things are bad. But if you still do them, it's not because you don't know they're bad. God, if I have to hear about one more awareness campaign, I don't think there should be any more awareness campaigns until I understand what that means. Breast cancer awareness. Breast Cancer Awareness Month, October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm very aware of breast cancer by now. I'm very aware of it. I mean, what does that even mean? Oh, eating disorder awareness. I'm very aware that if you're not eating or if you're throwing it off your eat, that that's a problem. Like, what is that? I'm very aware that plenty of people struggle with that. I'm aware, but like, what is this money going towards? Aware, like, tobacco is the one that really kills me. Tobacco awareness. Cigarettes are bad for you awareness. Jessica, you must smoke cigarettes because you don't understand that they're bad for you, and you need the government to teach you that they're bad, right?
Well, duh. I mean, obviously I'm just a worthless drone. I just, you know. Make any sense to me. When people, I'll never forget, you know, a lot of people, they get so up in arms and so angry about cigarettes sometimes. And sometimes if you smoke a cigarette in the wrong place at the wrong time, people will absolutely lose it. And it's happened to me several times. One time in college, it happened to me just a couple days ago. I was smoking a cigarette in front of a building. And people just absolutely lose it. And it's like, okay, this is my air too. You know what I mean? I'm not bothering anybody. And I'm also very mindful. You know, I don't smoke cigarettes around people that aren't smoking cigarettes. That's
right.
Just what you do. That's
right.
What you do as a smoker, you know? But if you're going to be a jerk to me, you better guarantee another cigarette right in front of you. You know, I mean, it just it doesn't make any sense to me. People with the cigarette shaming, the fat shaming, the age shaming, all that. It's just, you know, keep your eyes on your own damn paper. That's right. What I'm saying.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Stay out of my life. Stay out of my business. And if I'm not bothering you, then, you know, if there's 10 feet between me and you, and I'm already sitting down smoking a cigarette, and you're walking, I think you can walk away from me. That's what happened. I was sitting down, and the person was walking, and got
what'd
really
they
mad.
What'd they do? Like, would they say something, or what exactly happened?
You can't be smoking a cigarette within, you know, so-and-so feet of this building kind of thing.
Ew.
And, it was a government building, I guess.
Jeez.
Whatever.
I mean, did you smoke another cigarette? Did you smoke another cigarette?
That's what I do every time. This is the second time this has happened to me. And I thought, you know, the last time it happened to me, I was on a college campus. And I was just like, oh, you know, whatever. You know, this is just a college person, like, just angry, some activist, you know. But, yeah, keep your eyes on your own paper. Stay out of my business. If you have a problem with my smoky area, stay out of my smoky area.
Right.
You know, you've kicked me out of restaurants, you've kicked me out of airplanes, you've kicked me out of movie theaters, you've kicked me out of absolutely everywhere. At least give me this little space outside.
Well, did you know that some hospitals now are actually drug testing applicants for nicotine?
For nicotine.
So if you test positive for nicotine, you're not qualified to work at a hospital. This is...
Okay, so start testing for caffeine too.
Right, I was gonna say, so you're gonna start testing to make sure you're not eating too much McDonald's? Are they gonna start weighing everyone?
Yeah.
If you're like too chubby, you can't be a doctor. You go through med school.
What about prescription pills with the people that have anxiety attacks that are all hopped up on or Xanax or Klonopin? You know, what they have to be tested too, and they're not allowed to have, you know, their medicine for their, you know, anxiety attacks or whatever. You're gonna test for that. And also, How are cigarettes going to be affecting? I know they say it's for health insurance reasons, and a lot of times it's for hospitals and places like that. But I mean, these are also civilians. These are also citizens. These are also Americans. You know what I mean? And you should be able to have your career in the nursing field or the medical field and be able to smoke cigarettes. So what are you going to be blacklisted from every hospital in your county or your state because you smoke cigarettes? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I guess I get the argument with doctors is that, you know, you can't be a good example to your patients. You can't give them health advice if you're smoking cigarettes in your private life.
Right. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with health insurance, too.
Well,
they
yeah.
For
I'm
it.
Sure that's probably the real answer. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, it's just... Ugh. I don't know. Does it make
yeah,
you?
I probably, yeah.
Does it make you want to smoke more cigarettes?
No. But I gotta tell you that the electronic cigarettes, those don't work.
Yeah.
They have nicotine, so you just really want a cigarette. But
yeah.
I'm not a big smoker. I have like maybe two or three cigarettes a day. You know.
Right.
I can't imagine the people that have like, you know, a pack of cigarettes a day. They need to take like smoke breaks at work and stuff like that. Like I'm not. You know. I used to be, you know, but I've gotten better since I moved here because you can't smoke anywhere here.
No,
I mean, you really can't.
You can't.
In Florida, it wasn't that big of a deal. You could smoke in bars and stuff like that. I moved here to Maryland, and it was a total culture shock. You can't carry a gun here. You can't smoke a cigarette here. I can't carry a gun anywhere here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can't carry a gun. No. You can't even, like, say the word gun. You can't say the word gun. You can't say it. That's going to be next. I don't know. But you know what? I don't smoke cigarettes, but I like probably eat enough McDonald's to be a big problem. Like, I told you that one time I overheard someone in my office talking about me. They didn't see that I was there. They're like, you know, Kat's not fat, but she really should be worried about her cholesterol. Like, should I? Or because you seem plenty worried enough about it for both of us. But are we gonna do another fatty song? We're gonna do another.
Oh yeah, let's do another fatty song.
Let's do another food
next.
Song. All right. So the theme here is basically.
We were trying to do too much booty in the pants, but we couldn't do that.
Yeah, you had to buy the whole album. I want to do dance too much booty in the pants.
Just for too much booty in the pants.
I won't be doing that. But.
So what do we have?
All right. Let's see here. Let's see what we got. Didn't we have something about McDonald's?
Oh yeah.
All right, this break we'll do it. This. We'll do this right now. All right, Breaking Beltway. We'll be right back.
McDonald's is a place to rock. It is a restaurant where they buy food to eat. It is a good place to listen to the music. People flock here to get down to the rock music. Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! McDonald's will make you fat. They serve Big Macs. They serve quarter pounders. They will put pounds on you. Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! McDonald's hamburgers are the worst. They are worse than Burger King. A Big Mac has 26 grams of fat. A quarter pounder has 28 grams of fat. Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock and roll McDonald's! Rock over London, rock on Chicago. Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Breaking Beltway. I'm here. Chasmar is joining me also via Skype. We're trying this out, so no judgies if it sounds a little weird. Got a lot going on.
It's definitely going to sound a little weird.
But that's okay. That's okay. It's okay because the things we're saying are so brilliant. We've had a lot of talk about fat people. This, if you've been listening, you know this. We've been talking a lot about fat people. We want to kind of maybe talk about something a little more serious that's going on in Gambia right now. Do you want to explain a little bit?
Yeah, I swear, I'm such a buzzkill. Kat's like, hey, what are we talking about next? I'm like, Gambia. She's like, wah, wah.
Well, I don't know.
He shows up at the UN General Assembly last week, and he used his time to bully homosexuality in the name of Islam. And basically he said that homosexuality, those who promote homosexuality want to put an end to human existence.
But what does it mean, promote homosexuality? Does he just mean like not hating gayness, gay people?
Like we're promoting gayness, right, I guess.
But not hating gay people, is that essentially what he means?
I don't know. It's like okay, we promote the ability to be gay, but I don't promote gayness.
I don't understand is the homosexual agenda. Like, what are you talking about right now? Like, what does that mean,
you know,
promote gayness?
And he obviously, you know, they're obviously in the dark ages over there, and I guess the gay agenda is just making its way to Gambia. But I don't know. He's saying it's becoming an epidemic, and he actually says it is becoming an epidemic, and we Muslims and Africans will fight to end this behavior. He says it's evil. He says it's anti-human. It's anti-Allah. Being gay, having gay sexual intercourse or any kind of gay acts are illegal in Gambia.
He sounds so gay.
Right? And not only that, you know, okay,
I mean, he seems to be thinking a lot about gay sex.
Right?
He seems to be thinking
gay, stay away. And you know what? He actually told the homosexuals to leave the country.
That is just
He tried to exile them, and he said he was going to cut off their heads, and he said he was basically going to behead anyone who committed a homosexual act in Gambia.
Yeah, because so he's jealous. Because he's jealous that they're not doing it with him. That's what I'm calling.
Right.
I'm calling that. You know, they
he probably has some kind of dungeon. He's got slaves. He's got the whole bit.
I can't even deal with stuff like that. I mean, I don't know where those kinds of views would even come from.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
And you know, I posted this on my Facebook the other day, and it brought me to a very interesting discussion, because when I posted this, I wrote this story for WashingtonTimes.com about this Gambian president. And I posted it. My very first comment was from a liberal friend of mine that I grew up with. And the first comment was, yeah, well, there's this, you know, right-wing conservative activist who helped the president of Uganda write his anti-gay laws. So his very first instinct wasn't, oh my gosh, that's so backwards, this guy is insane. It was, hey, conservatives do it too. I called it Bush derangement syndrome, because I think that this all stems from Bush, and it all comes back from back in us invading Iraq. Something with liberals and people on the left make them absolutely incapable of recognizing behavior like this from Muslims. We're talking about a world leader here. He's at the United Nations speaking to a General Assembly. This isn't just some whack job on a blog. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying.
How can you possibly compare this guy, Jessica pronounces stuff, President Yahya Jammeh.
Yeah, who cares, man? Yeah.
how can you possibly compare him to radical evangelists? That's where he was going with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Does that not stem from Bush? Am I looking at the wrong cause there? Or the wrong, yeah.
You know what? Yeah, I mean, people hate Bush. I'm not a fan of Bush. You know, I know you are. He's kind of cute, okay? But you know, I'm not a fan. But I don't.
The person, Kat. Okay, yeah, that's not true. But go on.
Well, you know, but how dare you say something like that?
Right.
I mean, but the thing is, I think a lot of it has to do with Bush. I think a lot of it has to do with this narrative that, you know, people hear, oh, that, you know, conservatives are so discriminatory, they all hate gay people, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Is it just a media narrative? I don't understand where they're getting that from, that we can possibly be compared. I say we, you know, as in conservative groups, whereas, you know, not exactly me, but people that might be against, you know, gay marriage or legalizing gay marriage in different states. But, you know, that the president of Gambia in these statements could possibly be compared to the people in our country that are trying to keep, you know, gay marriage from being legalized in different countries.
Right, like that's the same as saying, I'm going to cut off your head.
I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to exile you from my country. I want you out of my country. Get out of America. You know, I'm sure there are many people that have said that, but, you know, that's...
This is the leader. This is the leader.
It's not our president.
Right, exactly.
This is the president. You know, he's at the UN.
Right, it wasn't on his blog. It wasn't on his Twitter. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So, that infuriated me, and obviously, you know, I'm sure, as you know, a lot of my followers, they were really pissed about that, and they were able to take over the conversation for me, because sometimes I like to just instigate and leave it be.
Sometimes you like to instigate is the biggest understatement.
Sometimes I stay in it for a little too long, and I did with him because he's a friend of mine that I grew up with, and I'm like, dude, you can't possibly believe that I am one of these people, even though... He lumps me in with conservatives, even though we've had this conversation time and time again. And this is also a huge problem that I have. And I don't know if you have this problem too, but it says nowhere on my profiles.
Of course I do. Of course I have that problem. You see that guy that blew up my Facebook saying that I was like a hateful? Yeah. We should just like send him that picture of that Thanksgiving that you spent at my house. The Lost Boys Thanksgiving. We rang
in their minds that I am a conservative, and it's probably because I use TCOD a lot, but I use that because I want to give people, you know, of that base, the stories that I write.
Right.
But, you know, for him to lump me in with conservatism and say that, and to even lump in conservatism with this at all, because
right.
conservatism and Christianity, they're not political systems.
They're not.
And this guy is talking about exiling people from his country. These are laws. These are, you know, cutting off the heads of people who disobey. You know, it's comparison. And they do it all the time. And
they do. I'm sick of it. All right.
I'm sick of it too. And I honestly think it all stems from invading Iraq. And they have it in their mind that now we cannot possibly recognize and demonize bad behavior by Muslims because we somehow owe them something.
Well, I think it's more like if there's any sort of like archaic belief about homosexuality anywhere, they'll call it back to conservatives no matter what.
Oh, sure.
I mean, absolutely. They love that. They're like, well, see?
It's like two wrongs make a right? Is that what we're saying? I don't, even if they did have a really good example of, people in Syria being gay or being Islam, I would like to hear those reports. I mean, really, I would love to report on that because it would give me some kind of balance. But you know what? I have no balance in my reporting because it's all swayed to one culprit.
Right.
A political system, you know? And it's a problem. And I'm not, you know, I would love people to send me those reports. I beg them every day to send me those reports of Christians doing that, Catholics doing that, Buddhists, you know, I would love to see those reports, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
decapitating people in the streets for believing in a certain faith.
I mean, it's not, of course, I want to make sure, it's not the Muslim faith, it's like these extremists. There's obviously plenty of, like, peaceful Muslims who don't feel this way.
You know, you can it's in any way you want to interpret the holy book, their holy book, you know, how you want to interpret that?
Yeah, I don't know, but to compare it to Christianity, I've never heard somebody say, I want to cut off a gay person's head for the Lord. Haven't heard it. Feel free to, you can be on the show next week if you have. Yeah, no, I know.
Even if they say they want to do it, you never see them actually doing it.
Make it a law. Yeah, yeah.
Which happens every day, Kat. I write these stories every day. And people are like, oh my God, you hate Islam. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, see, I don't write about it as much as you do.
Show me the reports.
Yeah.
I'm a reporter, dude. That's what I do. I report on reports. So send me the reports.
Send me the information.
I would love to see these reports of Christians decapitating people. Because then it would give me some kind of understanding of religion. But I don't. Because I see these people using religion as a way to murder people in the streets. And I think that's BS.
Yeah, that's not cool. All right, well, I hate to, you know, end the show on such a bummer note, but it's important stuff.
Oh, we have man, to. You got me all keyed up on that subject.
I know. We're out of time, so. Yeah, I mean, that's it's important to talk about that kind of stuff. But thanks, everyone, for listening. Breaking Beltway, out every Tuesday at 7 p.m., breakingbeltway.com.
All right.
Well, this has been a great time. Catherine Timpf.
And Jessica Chasmar.
All right. See you guys next week. All right. Bye.
Interrupting all programs. Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite, orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights, Cuban Army surplus or refusing of the lights. This Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Yeah!
Some pirates.